thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
It's good to have you here this morning on this long weekend. Hope you've got plans for the weekend, family, just rest, whatever it might be, and trust that that goes really well for you. Before we have a look at the proverb that we want to be looking at this morning, though, I want to go back to last week. We finished last week, for those of you who were here, by getting everyone to stand and repeating this line, which was, I have a part to play in God's mission. Got everyone to say that. For those of you who didn't get the opportunity to hear that, go listen to Brett's sermon last week for the podcast. And so I want to ask the question, because I prayed then that we would have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the hearts that would be soft enough to discern the invitation of God and the courage to step into it. So I'm going to ask you the question, how many of you discerned an invitation from God this last week? A few of you. Okay, we've got some work to do, okay? We can't just leave a commitment at church. We've got to take it with us in the week. But just keep your hands up for those of you, okay? Look around. If you've got a friend who's got their hand in the air, please go and ask them, how did you see God at work? What was the invitation? Because perhaps by asking someone, you can put your hands down now. Perhaps by asking someone else the way they saw God at work, you might realize that God was at work in your life in the same way, you just didn't realize it. And together we can encourage each other to keep our eyes open to the opportunities that we have to participate with God in His plans and purposes. So there's your challenge, or at least the first challenge. I'm excited to get back into Proverbs. It's been a bit of a break for us. We spent some time in 1 Peter, but I've been really looking forward to get back at this. I've been invited to contribute a chapter to a book about preaching to Australians, as only a Canadian would know. The chapter is on preaching wisdom literature, and so I've been focusing on Proverbs. So I've been doing a whole lot of thinking about how we preach, how I preach, the steps and ways in which we kind of help people engage with this perhaps most practical of Old Testament scripture. So I'm pretty excited to get back into it this morning. Our proverb this morning, the proverb that we want to begin to look at today, is actually found in chapter 16. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to have a look at that chapter. We're only going to be looking at one proverb, but I do want to draw your attention to the surrounding context in a moment or two. But the proverb this week is, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Now, I chose this because it's a relatively familiar proverb. It's got a familiar ring to it, right? You commit your ways to the Lord, and He will establish your plans. Sounds great. But immediately, when I began to think a bit more about the proverb, it struck me that this doesn't sound like other proverbs, at least not to my ears. Let me remind you about a really important characteristic of proverbs, and that is that proverbs are meant to be used. Right? These are like those statements that your dad used to spout off at you, or that you spout off to your children, or that uncle or that mentor, those little phrases, those little tips for success in life that you hear all the time. Proverbs are meant to be used, and this sounds to me a little bit like a religious platitude, doesn't it? It sounds like something you'd hear in church, but how are we really going to use this proverb? How are we, how are you, how am I going to use this proverb this week? This idea of committing to the Lord whatever we do, and He will establish our plans. Proverbs are intensely practical. They're intensely practical. They are meant to deal with the ins and outs of everyday life. And so we hear lots of proverbs that sound almost, well, they almost sound unbiblical, even the biblical ones, because they don't seem to have anything to do with the stuff that we'd expect to find in the Bible. It doesn't talk about the promises to Abraham, for instance. It doesn't talk about Moses. It doesn't talk about the Exodus. It doesn't talk about the law or the Ten Commandments. It has very little to say about the temple or sacrifices or offerings. There are no prophets. There are no angels. There's no thus saith the Lord. It just says simple things like, even a fool is considered wise if they remain silent. And we go, yeah, that's true. And remain silent, right? It's so practical. We kind of go, how is that biblical? How is that religious? How is that meant to kind of really impact my life? When we come to something like this, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. It doesn't sound as intensely practical. It sounds more like a religious statement. And that kind of got worse for me, shall I say, this question of when would you use this proverb, when I began to look at the surrounding context. And if you do have your Bibles with you, have a look at the rest of chapter 16. I want to draw your attention to the first 9 verses. Most of the time in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs kind of stand alone, right? You tend to use one proverb at a time, right? And so the proverb before and the proverb after very rarely shed any light on the proverb that you're looking at. But in chapter 16, the author or the editor has decided to kind of collect a whole bunch of proverbs that all seem to deal with the same sorts of things. And I want to take you through them briefly and reflect on them briefly on how they impact our understanding of committing whatever we do to the Lord. So have a look in chapter 16, verse 1. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. I thought, okay. So in relationship to committing my ways to the Lord, there's an element that I can do. There's a plan that I can bring forward. There's a suggestion that I can bring forward. But ultimately, what I do or say will come from the Lord. All right. So when I commit things to the Lord, it's still underneath his sovereignty. All a person's ways, verse 2, seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So once again, I thought, okay, so what does that mean for committing everything I do to the Lord? And it seems to strike me that I need to be very careful about my motives, right? As far as I'm concerned, my motivations are always right. My intentions are always good. I always have the best in mind, right? As do you. It's amazing that we don't get on better, right? This idea that I might commit something to the Lord, but my motivations might not be good. So I need to be aware of my motivations. Fine. Verse 4. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. And I thought, okay, what does this mean for committing whatever I do to the Lord? And I thought, well, it suggests to me again that God is sovereign, that ultimately whatever I commit to the Lord, well, he will establish my plans or not. All right? He's going to figure everything out. It's not my will that gets done. It's his. I don't submit, we don't submit proposals to God and say, hey, what do you think about this idea? And God goes, that's a fantastic idea. I'm going to action that. Never would have crossed my mind to do things that way. It's his ways. And he even has the proper end for the wicked. Because have you ever noticed, right, that sometimes wicked people or those who have nothing to do with God and have no consideration for him, nonetheless have their plans established? Ever notice that? So we can't reverse engineer the proverb, can we? We can't just say that if our plans are established, then we have obviously committed ourselves to the Lord, because it doesn't always work that way. Verse 6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for, and through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. So in thinking about committing my ways to the Lord, it means that I need to start with the fear of the Lord, this deep respect and honor for the things of God, in order that I might be obedient to him, not my own way. So, okay, fine, kind of intentions again. Verse 7, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's ways, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Okay, so even if I commit my ways to the Lord, ultimately it's the Lord's pleasure that leads to success. So what's the role of committing these things? Verse 8, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Okay, so I commit my ways to the Lord. He establishes my plans, but sometimes it doesn't actually work out and I still end up with just a little bit. And I have to be content because a little bit with righteousness is better than a lot with injustice. Okay, fine. Verse 9, last one. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And again, thinking about committing whatever I do to the Lord suggests that regardless of what I commit to him, it's ultimately God's sovereignty that figures out what's next for me. I thought to myself, coming back to verse 3, all I have now is a proverb with a whole bunch of conditions and clauses and times when it's not true. Right? So we might say it this way: commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans, except when he doesn't. Because sometimes your motivations are wrong, and sometimes it's just not his plan, and sometimes it's the wicked who get their plans established, but don't worry, it's going to be okay, because they're going to have their day in the sun, in the wrong kind of sense. And sometimes you will establish your ways, but it won't be nearly what you thought it would, but just be content. And all of a sudden, I've got this proverb that I can never use because I have so many provisos around it, I can't use it. And can I just say, this is the fun of proverbs. Because proverbs are meant to make us think. They're actually meant to engage us. Yes. They're short, pithy statements of generalized truth, but they're kind of like dehydrated truth. And the longer you soak in them, the more the truth comes out. This, I mean, from my perspective as a preacher, and this might give you insight into my character, this is fun, all right? I got to this point, and I'm like, I have no idea what to do with this proverb. We're never going to use it. It's just going to remain in the Bible as this wonderful thing that we should say from time to time instead of being a way to live our lives. So I went back to the proverb. I began to do a little bit of thinking around the words that were used, right? The words that were used. And so I looked at the fact that it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do in terms of your works, and he will establish your plans or your thoughts. I thought a little bit about that. Is there any distinction between what I do and what I think, between the things that I'm actually actively involved in and the plans that I have? Not really. It doesn't really help me much. I thought about the word established. You know, the idea of like creation is established. It's made firm. It's made secure. You can put your trust in it. I thought that's kind of helpful. But it didn't really unlock the proverb for me. Didn't really unlock it at all. I still wasn't exactly certain how or when we would use this proverb. So I came back then to the word commit. Because when I began to think about it again, I realized that the advice of this proverb lies in the first part of the verse, doesn't it? The second part of the verse is God's business, and God will do it, right? God will establish your plans. The only thing that I can really do, the only thing that you can do, the wisdom of this proverb is in the first part, commit to the Lord whatever you do. So let me ask you a question. If you were to guess to the nearest 50, to the nearest 10, how many times the word commit, in this sense of commit yourself to the Lord or commit your ways to God or whatever it might be, how many times that word is used in the Old Testament, how many would you think? And of course, you're sitting there thinking, I don't know. So let me ask you another question. Would it surprise you if I told you that this word that's translated commit only occurs 18 times in the Old Testament? Did that surprise you? It surprised me. I mean, that's one every two books. I'm pretty sure there's more in there about it. And so I'm not much of a Hebrew scholar, but I can use the tools. And so I began to look again at this word commit. Only used 18 times. But what's really interesting about the word is that it's only translated commit 3 times. Its usual meaning is to roll. And not in a spiritual, metaphorical way, just like rolling stuff. So in Genesis, there's a stone on top of a well, and Jacob rolls it away. Like it's not mysterious or super spiritual. It's just rolling something away. And I thought, what an interesting metaphor to use in talking about committing our ways to God. Rolling things to the Lord. That's an interesting metaphor, isn't it? I began to think a little bit more about it. And I realized that from time to time in my spiritual journey, and this may be true for you, I have had to roll something to the Lord, to commit something into his hands. So the most significant of those examples for me occurred when I had finished high school. I had finished high school in Canada, And I was very determined to become a teacher. I was going to become a school teacher, teaching English and drama to high school students. Ah, what a wonderful, wonderful way forward, a great plan for my life. And I was equally committed to going to Queen's University in Canada, which at that point in time had the best concurrent education program in the country. And I was working pretty hard at my subjects to try to get the grades I needed for it, all that sort of stuff. And I don't remember losing sleep over, I don't remember being really particularly stressed. But I do remember a close friend of mine, a few years older, with whom I had a kind of a spiritual mentorship, shall we say. He said to me one day, he said, you need to lay that down. And for those of you who've been around like the church for a while, that's a great phrase that has absolutely no meaning when you get right down to it, doesn't it? You just need to lay that down. You just give that to God. I'm like, how do I give a desire to God? What is that all about? But I also knew he was absolutely right. And as I said, I don't remember being stressed out or losing sleep, but I do remember being in tears as I prayed a prayer that went something like this. God, I don't know exactly what it means to lay something down, but to the best of my ability, I lay this down. Amen. That was my prayer. The remarkable thing that happened, and this is where some of you might relate to me, even though the circumstances are different, is that a couple months later, I received a letter of acceptance from Queen's University into their concurrent education program, and I read it with no emotion. Nothing. I had been so wound up about this. It was the only thing I really wanted, and I got this acceptance letter, and there was just nothing. So I called this friend of mine. I said, I don't think God wants me to go to Queen's University. And he said, I don't think he does either. I was like, all right, fine. Now, the rest of the story is, I'm not sure if it's interesting, but it's weird, and it ends up with me being here today, right? So you can ask me about the intervening time if you'd like. But that moment for me was one of those moments when I had to commit what I was doing to the Lord. And in that instance, the way that he established for me, the plan that he established for me, was different than the one that I'd wanted. Have any of you had that kind of experience? Having to lay something down, commit something to the Lord? And I thought that's certainly a time when we would use this kind of a proverb. But it occurred to me as I was thinking about committing things to the Lord that circumstance of rolling something to the Lord and leaving it there and it remaining with him was actually fairly rare for me. That in fact, a lot of the time, it's not a matter of committing something to the Lord once. It's about committing something to the Lord again and again and again. You may not be familiar with the legend of Sisyphus. There's no reason why you should. We preach the Bible, and Greco-Roman mythology is not part of our standard curriculum. But there's a legend, a myth in Greco-Roman mythology of a man named Sisyphus who is like super clever, so clever that he could dupe the gods, which tells you something about how clever their gods are if they can be duped by someone. But nonetheless, when he was finally brought to justice, or whatever, he was condemned to an eternity of rolling a large rock up a hill, only to have it roll back down to the bottom every time he reached the summit. It's often used to describe futile effort, right? A Sisyphean task, as they say. I just like saying that because it sounds like a really complex idea, right? But it comes from this legend. And I thought, you know, there's something about that that sounds a little bit more like my day-to-day life. I suddenly realized that is when we have to use this proverb. We need to use the proverb, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans every single day. Don't we? And this is where the metaphor came to life for me. So I think it's a wonderful idea to think about rolling things to God. Have you ever rolled a really large boulder? I was going to say snowball, but none of you have done that, right? Maybe a few of you have done that. As a kid, you know, you'd make a snowman, and then the bottom of the snowman, you just rolled it till you couldn't move it anymore, and that's what the snowman was going to be, right? And you'd roll this thing, but the thing about rolling something, if you've ever rolled anything, is that you get a good look at it as you're rolling it, right? And I thought to myself, you know, something really valuable about rolling something to the Lord continually and being able to see what's in the ball, to be able to look at my motivations and my intentions. But here's the other piece that I began to think about. It seems to me that the shape of my life is, broadly speaking, and I hope this is the right term. No one corrected me, so I think this is right, is that my life is concave. In other words, it has a slope in towards me. I don't know if your life is the same. Everything seems to roll back to you, right? And here's the problem with committing something to the Lord once. I roll it to the Lord and I say, here, Lord, this is yours. I don't know what this means exactly, but to the best of my ability, I leave it with you. And I walk back to the center of my life, the center of the web of all that I do. And unbeknownst to me, the slope of my life allows that thing to slowly or quickly roll back down and end up at my feet. And I can roll them out to God, and I can roll them out to God, and I can roll them out to God, and my life is clear. And then if I don't pay attention, they roll back down and bump against my ankles and end up tripping me up every single day. Does this sound vaguely familiar to anyone else but me? Every day, I need to be committing these things to the Lord. Every day I need to be rolling these same things to the Lord and kind of roll and have a good look. Are my intentions right? Is there pride? Is there arrogance? Is there wickedness? Is there injustice? Is there any reason why this thing that I am doing could not be established by the Lord? Is there any reason why I'm going to roll this to him and it's just going to roll right back to me because it's not pleasing, it's not right, the time's not right, whatever it is. And if I use this proverb frequently enough, possibly, the things that I've committed to the Lord will not bump into my ankles, but I'll catch them on the downslope. Long before they trip me up again, I can stop them and roll them back to the Lord. And roll them all to the Lord. Big things, small things. Roll them back to the Lord. Commit them to the Lord. Commit to the Lord everything that I do, and allow him to establish what needs to be established and let slip what needs to let slip. And I can just get on with trying to be as faithful and as obedient as I can be. That's when we use this proverb. Every single day. So there's your challenge. To use this proverb this week. First thing when you get up. When you're on the train, when you first sit at your desk and you look through your diary for the day, when you finally drop the kids off at school or over the next couple of weeks not at school, and you finally have that moment to draw breath and have a cup of coffee, to commit those things to the Lord. I tried it this morning, actually. Got in early this morning and kind of went over my message, and I thought, well, if I'm going to tell you all to do it, I might as well try it myself. And so I took a few moments to pray and to commit the things that I'm doing to the Lord. I thought, you know, there's a handful of things that I'm working away at, and I thought, okay, I want to kind of, in prayer, roll these things to the Lord. I want to look at them a little bit. I don't just want to pray for success in a particular program or a particular project or a particular activity. I actually want to be thinking a little bit about what it is that I'm committing to the Lord and why I'm committing it to him and what I hope to achieve out of this. And it was a really enlightening exercise. Took about 5 minutes, really. Not an enormous part of my day. But in those few minutes, I feel that the Holy Spirit revealed to me a couple of places where my intentions, my motivations were not as pure as I would have thought they were. Who would have thought? A couple places where I realized that my focus and my perspective were not the sorts of perspectives, not the kind of focus that in my mind would lead to God establishing those things. It was a very interesting exercise and a very helpful reminder for myself and for each of us to commit everything we do to the Lord, and he will establish our plans. So there's your challenge. every day this week, commit everything you do to the Lord. Roll it to Him again. Try to catch that stuff before it trips you up again. And allow Him to establish your ways. Because when we live this way, when we live according to this pattern, we will find success because this is how God has made the world. He has made the material world of rocks and trees and birds and bees, and He has made the moral world of truth and justice and all the things we find here in Proverbs. And when we commit ourselves to committing our ways to the Lord, He will establish our plans. A pocket tip for better living from the book of Proverbs. Well, for those of you visiting, we're gonna turn the cameras off. We've been taking a couple of moments after every sermon to pause and reflect a little bit on what it is that we need to respond to. You know, we don't come to church just to hear stuff and then go away. We ultimately want to hear from God. We want to be participating with what God is doing. And so I hope that God's spoken to you today, whether it's in the worship, whether it's in how we prayed, whether it's just in the encouragement of what we've heard about, whether it's something out of this passage. But we want to take a moment to actually think through what a potential response might be. And you might have one, go for your life. But if you haven't kind of thought that through, Mark's going to take some time to lead us through that as the team come to lead us in our closing songs of worship as well. Thanks, Mark.
May I invite you to stand with me now? Because that is our first opportunity to respond, to begin to stand and to step into what God is inviting us into. And this moment, this part of our service is not just something we do because it's a neat way to end, but we genuinely want to begin to step into the things that God is inviting us into. One of those things may be to sing, and we will have an opportunity, a bit of an extended opportunity, to sing again together at the end of this service. Or you may want to pray about whatever is going on in your life right now, whatever size that thing might be. Please do come and stand with one of our prayer team who will be here at the front during our closing songs. But right now, we particularly want to take some time to respond to what we believe God is inviting us into through what we've heard Mark share about this morning, this message, and particularly to take a moment together to commit our plans to God, or almost to commit to committing our plans to God. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to take out your electronic device, whatever it might be, or maybe you're going old school and you still use a paper calendar or diary, then I would invite you to get that out as well. And I'm simply going to invite you to take a moment to find some space tomorrow morning or a time convenient to you tomorrow to schedule in a time where you will spend 5 minutes just committing your plans to the Lord. And the reason why I am talking about us doing that tomorrow is that if we don't commit to a rhythm, establishing a rhythm of committing our plans to the Lord, then our time will be squeezed and we won't make that time at all. We won't commit daily to this rhythm of committing our plans to the Lord and letting Him establish our ways. So there we go. That is our opportunity to respond. If you've got your electronic device with you, a calendar, now is the time to reach for it. You don't have to stand still. You can make noise. That's also fine. Grab it out and pop that in now. Some point tomorrow, I'm going to do it too. Be finishing that off right now, but as you do that, as you take some time to think about establishing a rhythm of daily committing your plans to the Lord, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that you don't invite us into a box-ticking faith where we can go, yeah, we've come here on a Sunday and we've spent some time committing our plans to God and we can just get on with the week and do that. Because if we live a life like that, we will end up with rocks at our feet that will trip us up and cause us to stumble. Father, we thank you that you invite us into a relationship that means that we have the space to commit our plans to you every day, to get your perspective, to listen to you on how you are going to establish the course of our lives, the things that we are to spend our time and energy engaging on, and the way that we're calling to do that. Lord, even sometimes to lay down the things that seem like they're the most important to us, that you might invite us into something better. Father, thank you that you invite us into the best version of life. May we continue daily to step into this rhythm of committing our plans to you. Amen.